Welcome to our worship from the West Highland Peninsula. Every second Sunday of July is Sea Sunday, and so today I've come down here to Glenuig, where you can see there's a lively community of people making their living from the sea. We remember those who are in great danger, inconvenience, discomfort, away from homes and families, who work to bring us the things that we need. We pray for their safety and protection, and we remember the missions to seafarers, the Sailor Society, and many other organisations that work for their support. Our call to worship today, words from Psalm 107, some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the mighty waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord and wondrous works in the deep. So let's sing that great seafarer's hymn, Eternal Father, Strong to Save.
Let us pray. God, whose love knows no bounds, in our gathering we celebrate that all are welcome. In your economy, none are excluded or beyond the reaches of your love. May we know ourselves to be part of that great company of the saints, past and present, continually held by your love and grace. Open our eyes, Lord, to a new awareness of how we place conditions on love, yours and ours. Forgive us and set us free from convention that decrees that love must be earned. Set us free to confound expectations, to share your love freely, without reserve, without condition, as those who know the grace of your love and forgiveness. May our worship now reflect the light of your love, and may our praise reach beyond to transform us, and to transform the world. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. From Psalm 107, reading verses 23 to 30. Some sailed over the ocean in ships, earning their living on the seas. They saw what the Lord can do, his wonderful acts on the seas. He commanded, and a mighty wind began to blow and stirred up the waves. The ships were lifted high in the air and plunged down into the depths. In such danger, the sailors lost their courage. They stumbled and staggered like drunks. All their skill was useless. Then, in their trouble, they called to the Lord, and he saved them from their distress. He calmed the raging storm, and the waves became quiet. They were glad because of the calm, and he brought them safe to the port they wanted. Amen.
Now we turn our attention from the Sunday to St. Luke's Gospel and the parable of the Good Samaritan. But to set the scene from that, let's sing, "In Christ there is no east nor west."
From Luke chapter 10, reading from verse 25. A teacher of the law came up and tried to trap Jesus. "Teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "What do the scriptures say? How do you interpret them?" The man answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself." Jesus replied, "You are right. Do this and you will live." But the teacher of the law wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus answered, "There was once a man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when robbers attacked him, stripped him, and beat him up, leaving him half dead. It so happened that a priest was going down that road, but when he saw the man, he walked on by the other side. In the same way, a Levite also came there, went over and looked at the man, and then walked on by the other side. But a Samaritan who was travelling that way came upon the man, and when he saw him, his heart was filled with pity.
He went over to him, poured oil and wine on his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own animal and took him to an inn, where he took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Take care of him," he told the innkeeper, "and when I come back this way, I'll pay you whatever else you spend on him." Jesus concluded, "In your opinion, which of these 3 acted like a neighbor towards the man attacked by robbers?" The teacher of the law answered, "The one who was kind to him." Jesus replied, "Go then and do the same." Amen. May God bless these words to you today.
Today's Gospel reading, the parable of the Good Samaritan, is surely one of the most familiar, clearest pieces of teaching in the Bible. Even more so for us in 21st century Britain than for the original hearers in the 1st century Middle East. Not only do we have the benefit of this being a set text that has been taught for 2 millennia, but the very word Samaritan has found a special meaning in the English language, instantly recognisable as someone from whom we might expect kindness. It might be one of that dedicated band of volunteers at the end of a telephone line who work under the banner of the name. Or more generally, is someone who sees someone else's need and responds with a selfless act of help. The message is clear. If you come upon someone who needs your help, don't look around for excuses. Just get on and do the right thing. Interestingly, there's another phrase from that reading that's passed into common usage, and that is to pass by on the other side, the opposite of the Good Samaritan. We sometimes hear it used as a logical and even commendable decision not to get involved where there might be untold dangers and where you might end up becoming the victim yourself. Quite often it is used, as in the parable, of someone of standing, someone you might expect to do the right thing, but who doesn't respond to the opportunity. A while ago, a small group of us in a town centre church met, wanting to find a course of action that would make our faith, our worship, our Bible reading and prayer make a difference to those around us. We looked at our options. We had a church hall with a kitchen attached, and we decided to open that up on a Saturday morning as a coffee shop, offering refreshments at little over cost price and, more importantly, fellowship. We weren't into Bible bashing, but nor did we hide the fact that what we were doing there was inextricably bound up with what went on in the church building next door. People heard about it and came, some from no church background, some from other churches and denominations in the town. And soon we had what became known as our Saturday congregation. The stalwarts of our church also rallied round, ever ready to serve coffee and bake cakes, though it had to be said there was a tendency to measure our success in terms of the money we made rather than the obvious needs that were met. Some while after this venture had started, a homeless man took to sleeping rough in the churchyard. Suspicion sprang up at once, did we want this sort of person coming in for coffee? Could he afford it? And he was obviously uncomfortable with the close presence of what were clearly upright citizens. Then one of our group took a mug of coffee out, gave it to him for free, and sat on the low wall to chat with him. The whole situation changed. Trust was built up, though it took a while for the mutterings inside the hall to die down. Before long, Andy's mug was a permanent feature. Permanent, that is, until he moved on from the churchyard. I think he might have been given a place in one of the homeless shelters. While he was with us, a local paper ran a story on him, and our coffee shop was mentioned. Imagine the message that would have been given if the initial mistrust had not been overcome. So there's a clear message in this parable for anyone who reads it in any culture or time. No one is excluded in this command to love our neighbour. It's an easy message to understand, not so easy to do. And this is where the focus pulls back a little. So far we've been looking at the parable itself. And like all parables, we are expected to apply it to ourselves. But the reading we have heard gives a context to how and when Jesus told that parable, something that isn't given with many of Jesus' parables. He told the parable to an expert in the law who wanted to test Jesus. As might be expected, this expert in the law could not fail to understand the message Jesus gave, and he answered Jesus' question. Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? Correctly. At least he did so at face value. The one who had mercy on him. Couldn't he just have said the Samaritan? It almost sounds like legal language, needlessly involved and impersonal. True, Samaritan was a word devout Jews might have avoided using. It didn't have the familiarity and acceptability for them that it has for us. The highly developed network of Jewish regulations tended to discourage close contact with Samaritans, who were regarded as unclean. And the lawyer would probably have avoided not just the word, but the very idea that a Samaritan could be good, let alone the recipient of his love. The lawyer could follow the logic of the parable well enough, but he was a long way from fulfilling the commandment he had quoted off pat. Which is rather the point. The lawyer isn't unique. If there are some he finds hard to love, who does not have this difficulty? Such love is truly divine. It is something we cannot achieve of ourselves. And yet, growing towards it is our life's work. It is working towards the likeness of God in which we are created and to which we are called. This is God's starting point for us, and it shows up the error in the starting point of the expert in the law when he set out to test Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Eternal life is God's gift, not something we can earn, and he will only confer it on us when, by his mercy, we are ready to receive it. In that life, all will be neighbours and all will be receivers and givers of God's love. May his kingdom come.
And so we bring our prayers for others, our neighbours and ourselves. Who is my neighbour? Those I encounter every day and those I may never meet. Who is my neighbour? Those I enjoy spending time with and those I avoid. Who is my neighbour? Those who look and sound like me and those who are very different. Lord, we pray for our neighbours locally and globally, neighbours in every corner of the world, a world ravaged by war and disease, by famine and drought, a world in which darkness and suffering so often have the upper hand. Lord, convince us again and again that it is not your will that any should suffer, and show us how to bring change. As we pray for miracles, for war to end, for peace to prevail, for a just and equal sharing of all the resources you have given, for better stewardship of all creation, may we know that every day we can be involved in miracles right where we are by doing what we can with what we have in loving our neighbours. God of infinite love, may we offer all that we are and all that we have in the service of our neighbour, so that your will be done on earth and your name be glorified throughout the world. Our prayers, all our thoughts, we offer to you, our God of love. Amen.
When our songs of joyful celebration are drowned out by the groans of those in need, echoing creation that's waiting like a prisoner to be free. Father, we cry out, how long until the pain and suffering cease? We pray that your kingdom would fill this world with justice, love and peace. Have mercy, Lord, on the earth you created. Have mercy, Lord, through us. Father, change our hearts, take our hands, raise our voices. May we demonstrate your love. Change. generous with our wealth. All we have is yours, Lord. How could we only use it for ourselves? Give us compassion for those who need the comfort we can bring. The hungry and hopeless who wait for us to practice what we say.
May God the Father watch over us. God the Son make his way clear before us. And God the Holy Spirit inspire us with his love. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon us, upon all those that we love, and all those that we should love, now and always, and forever and ever. Amen.